اعتمدت الى مواقع العسكريه ومواطن الحرب باي صله.
The Yemenis had to understand how dearly it would cost them to adhere to Ansar Allah's ideology. Many people were massacred by the bombardment of Saudi and American warplanes, and many infrastructures and property were destroyed. Compared to the previous wars, the Sixth War was the most vicious and most complicated one for Ansar Allah.
كانت حرب عبادة جماعية.
The Sixth War was basically a massacre, which the Yemeni government was carrying out assisted by Saudi Arabia, and even American aircraft had come to the fray. They carried out indiscriminate killings of civilians, and their aim was to inflict the most possible amount of loss and damage. However, the loss suffered by the aggressors, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and other countries which confronted the Ansar Allah movement was so apparent that it made our victories greater.
كل من وقف ضد هذه الحركة
أبدى الشباب المؤمن نموذجا جديدا في الدفاع عن
Al-Shabaab al-Mu'min adopted a new form of self-defense in their fighting, which led to the defeat of the Saudi army, laying bare its weaknesses and disgracing it amongst the other armies of the world. Despite Saudi Arabia possessing highly sophisticated weaponry and equipment, bought mainly from the United States, the kingdom did not manage to conquer anything on the ground. Instead, Al-Shabaab al-Mu'min, otherwise known as the Houthis, managed to advance into Saudi soil, especially in Al-Dukhan and the Al-Jaberi Mountains, where they stayed and left only after signing an agreement with the Yemeni central government. This was an important juncture in the progress made by the Al-Shabaab al-Mu'min.
The limelight.
The American presence in war-ravaged Afghanistan, often described as a graveyard of empires, not only failed to wipe out the threat of terrorism, but actually fanned its flames. We now present you an article written by Sayed Zafar Mahdi, a Tehran-based journalist, editor and blogger with over 12 years of experience who has reported extensively from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran for leading publications worldwide. The piece is titled, How Post-9/11 US War on Terror Spawned Terrorism. The brutish and long-drawn-out American war on terrorism that began in the wake of the suspicious 9/11 attacks 20 years ago has only spawned more terrorism and more insecurity. The military invasion of Afghanistan started with the Pentagon carpet bombing the landlocked country with B-52 heavy bombers and gunships. The disastrously misguided and disproportionate response to the cataclysmic events of 9/11 found expression in the so-called Global War on Terror, which has since consumed tens of thousands of lives from Afghanistan to Iraq and elsewhere. The nasty, brutish and long-drawn-out war on terror has only spawned more terrorism, despite successive regimes in Washington and their Western allies trying to conceal the truth. 20 years on, the war-ravaged country again finds itself at a crossroads. The Taliban fighters are back in power, Al-Qaeda is still around and thriving, while Daesh terrorist group has quietly and stunningly made its way from Iraq and Syria to Afghanistan. That's how America's ominous presence breeds terrorism rather than annihilating it. In the aftermath of the suspicious 9/11 attacks, Americans vowed to crush every terrorist group within their reach, including Al-Qaeda. Former U.S. President George W. Bush famously declared on 20th of September 2001, "The U.S. war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but does not end there." The imprudence was clearly evident. Invasion of Afghanistan less than a month after four hijacked American planes crashed into landmark buildings in New York and Washington on 11th of September 2001, killing 2,977 people, was reckless, poorly planned, and shoddily executed. As the U.S. dispatched long-range B-52, Stratofortress strategic bombers, AC-130 Spectre gunships, and MQ-9 Reaper drones to flatten the Tora Bora cave complex in eastern Afghanistan, where Osama bin Laden was reported to be hiding, Barbara Lee was the only U.S. congresswoman to vote against authorizing what was to turn out to be America's longest war in history. Barbara Lee was labeled a traitor by those who championed the military invasion that incurred an astronomically high cost, with innocent Afghan civilians bearing the brunt. The mindless war found support among both U.S. Republicans and Democrats as they rallied behind George W. Bush and his hawkish defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, to exact the revenge. The bombing campaign was launched on 7th of October 2001 under pretext of decimating the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and capturing the 9/11 mastermind Osama bin Laden, the former CIA ally and the founder of Al-Qaeda, who was apparently hosted by the Taliban. The core objective of the three-week bombing campaign, dubbed Operation Enduring Freedom, was achieved in less than 3 months. But the Americans decided against quitting Afghanistan. There was certainly more to it than that, beyond the bluff and bluster of fighting terrorism. If eliminating Al-Qaeda and the Taliban or taking out Osama bin Laden were prime objectives of the military invasion, the U.S.-led Allied troops would have called it quits long ago. But the aim was to occupy Afghanistan to make the mineral-rich country strategically located between Central and South Asia subservient to the West. Clear from the way George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld snubbed the Taliban's offer of a truce to avoid confrontation. Before the bombardment began, the group offered to hand over Osama bin Laden to a third country for trial and even agreed to lay down arms and recognize the government in Kabul led by Hamid Karzai. The offers were spurned, leading to a 20-year military adventure that ended in the worst U.S. military and strategic debacle. The American public, who initially supported the idea of military action against the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks, eventually became its fierce opponents, as the futile war dragged on for years, metamorphosing into the worst U.S. foreign policy disaster. For 20 years, the war in Afghanistan remained an enigma for the successive U.S. administrations, from George W. Bush to Joe Biden. After invading the country and destroying it beyond recognition, George W. Bush abandoned Afghanistan and launched another costly military adventure in neighboring Iraq in 2003. Both experiments proved counterproductive. His successor, Barack Obama, refocused on Afghanistan, killing bin Laden 10 years after the suspicious 9/11 attacks, not in the mountains of Afghanistan, but in the Pakistani city of Abbottabad, a short jog from military base. Barack Obama then began the drawdown, but stopped short of complete withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. Years later, his successor Donald Trump signed a deal with the Taliban, pledging to withdraw American occupying forces from Afghanistan. It was the same militant group his fellow Republican president George W. Bush once vowed to decimate. Donald Trump was consigned to the dustbin of history before he could execute the plan. It was his successor, Joe Biden, his political rival, who finally pulled the plug on America's longest war. The disastrous war ended in August of 2021, the way it started in October of 2001, in a violent, disorderly, shambolic, reckless fashion. Amidst the chaotic evacuation of Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport, a Daesh suicide bomber blew himself up, killing more than 200 people, including 13 U.S. service members. The ghastly incident underscored not only the vulnerability of ordinary Afghans, but also the U.S. failure to eliminate the threat of terrorism in Afghanistan. More importantly, it also blew the lid off the sinister interventionism and hegemonic ambitions of the U.S. military-industrial complex in foreign lands, from Somalia to Afghanistan. As reporters later revealed, many of those killed at the Kabul airport didn't fall to suicide bombings but to indiscriminate firefight by American occupation forces. More civilians were to perish hours later in the U.S. drone strike, including Afghan women and children. So, as some pundits would argue, 20 years after the doomed U.S. military mission began in Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden has won the war posthumously. The American presence in the war-ravaged country, often described as the graveyard of empires, not only failed to wipe out the threat of terrorism, but it actually fanned its flames.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to The Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. In this special episode, we select a short part of Imam Khomeini's will, the book which was to be the source of Muslim unity and that of humanity, and to be a living source in their lives, has become the source of disunity and discord, or has been eliminated from the scene altogether. to the point that if one initiated to discuss Islamic government or to speak of politics, that means of the great and noble Islam, the Prophet's carrier, and the content of the Quran and the traditions, it deemed as committing the gravest sin, and the phrase political preacher was used for him to mean a religious person, and so is the case even today.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you are listening to Spring of Truth coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So stay tuned with us. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi, an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. We are looking at Imam Khomeini's point of view when it comes to Ashura. Imam Khomeini was quoted saying, "It is narrated that he who cries for Imam al-Hussein, martyrdom, or make others cry, or even he who puts on a weeping appearance, will be admitted to heaven." Now, Imam al-Khomeini took this quote from a hadith itself, from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, where they speak so highly of those who cry or those who even put on a sad face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to be stuck on the reward. He wants you to understand what is meant out of this action. So when you pray, surely Allah will reward you. But what does salah do to you? What does a prayer do to you? Allah says, "Tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar," that if you pray, it prevents you from committing any sorts of a mischief on earth or any evil acts. If you fast, Allah says, "La'allakum tattaqun," that you might get piety. So you see, every action, even though it has a reward, at the end of the day, there's a goal and aim that needs to be achieved and reached. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. When we lament and cry for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi and the Ahl Bayt, they say, well, even a tear will get you into heaven. It means that, yes, the reward is there, but it means that if you become emotional, that because it's not easy to cry, if you're crying, it means your heart is soft. If your heart is soft, then you are easily can observe the Islamic teachings, the morals of the Islamic teachings, the message of Imam al-Hussein becomes so easier to sink in. If you can't cry, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they say, well, put yourself in a sad mood.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us listen to a thought-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil, for this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue." Thank you.
are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says, creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
Visitors and staff of a French zoo have been amazed by the surprise birth of two African lion cubs. The babies, a boy and a girl, were born 2 weeks ago in Amnival Zoo. Their birth was unexpected due to their father's advanced age of 17. The cubs will live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. According to zookeepers, they are currently in good health. The Amnival Zoo has asked people on social media to name the newborns. The German capital Berlin turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Buchanan landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saip also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition, with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. And the zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of Almighty Allah be upon all of you. Dear friend, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Today we're going to speak about gifts for the deceased.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن
Cause you made it this way وهبتنا النبراس في حبي كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 4th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we choose some verses of the Holy Quran. Today we choose verses 15 to 17 of chapter Mu'minun.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Thumma innakum ba'da dhalika lamaytun.
Then indeed, after that you are to die.
ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ
Then indeed you, on the day of resurrection, will be resurrected.
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعَ طَرَائِقَ وَمَا كُنَّا عَنِ الْخَلْقِ غَافِلِينَ
And we have created above you seven layered heavens. And never have we been of our creation unaware.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In these verses, Allah shows us that death is certain and definite. Here it will be appropriate to mention a part of one of the sermons of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on this subject. His Eminence says, If there was anyone who could secure a ladder to everlasting life or a way to avoid death, it will Sulaiman ibn Dawood, peace be upon him, who was given control over the jinn and men along with prophethood and a great position before Allah. But when he finished, what was his due to sustenance in this world and exhausted his time? The bow of destruction shot him with the arrow of death.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
Now, gifts for the deceased. The famous supplication by the Holy Prophet that we are recommended to recite during the month of Ramadan begins with O Allah, instill happiness in the spirits of the inhabitants of the graves before mentioning the hungry, the poor, the anguished ones. The Holy Prophet wanted to bring our attention towards the deceased ones. The Islamic concept of dua or supplication is not passive, but rather demands us to delve into action if we are sincere with our prayer. Sincere recitation of this verse should lead us to perform good deeds for the dead to instill happiness in their graves, in their afterlife. If we were to ask ourselves who the needy ones are in this world, who demand our help and attention, we will have an endless list. As believers, it is essential that we not only remind ourselves to help and serve those who need us in this world, but also think and look beyond into the dwellers of the worlds that begins after death.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to send gifts to the deceased. Usually, we give gifts to the people who are around us. However, in the Islamic instructions, we find that people are encouraged to send gifts to the deceased beloveds. One of the points in this regard is that, according to, this principle and according to this important notion observable in Islamic practices, we find that doing good cannot be limited to those people who are alive. Rather, doing good can be extended to those people who are no longer in this world. From Islamic instructions, and particularly from the Quranic verses and reliable hadiths, we find that seeking divine forgiveness for the deceased people is a kind of sending gift or doing favor to the deceased people. In the Quranic Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 10, it's indicated, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those people who come after others and say, O people, may you forgive us and our religious brethren who had faith before us. It indicates that true believers seek divine forgiveness not only for themselves but for the deceased beloveds, for the late beloveds.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, the best charity. Yes, the best charity is the title of this part. I invite you to listen to it. Once a companion of the Prophet of Islam called Sa'd has gone to the battlefield outside the city of Medina. On the way, Sa'd heard that his mother, who had been sick, had died. Sa'd, who loved his mother very much, came to the Prophet and said that he had wanted to give charity on his mother's behalf, but it had not been possible for him. He then required if he could give charity on her behalf now that she was dead. Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, replied in the affirmative. Sa'd then went on to inquire what was the best charity he could offer. The Prophet said that on the route to the battlefield, he had seen that the soldiers were thirsty and there was a dire need of water. The Prophet suggested that the best charity was to dig a well on the road so that the caravans would benefit from the supply of water, and it would also be a continuous form of charity for years to come. That was what Sa'd did.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
We are so happy that you are with us. A piece of advice for every Muslim losing a loved one: don't dwell in isolation. It is quite common to be engulfed by grief with the death of a loved one. However, one must not dwell in it much, as this sends an invitation to Shaitan to become misery's company The ploy is to give your attention to every little thing you have, thinking that this could also be taken away from you. Love brings the love, while regret leads to discontentment. And discontentment should not be felt, most especially to the glorified and exalted Allah. Let the death of a loved be a lesson of detaching from dunya, this world, and to hold Allah in your heart above all others.
Death is by far the most undesirable human experience. Death is also a reality that cannot be changed. Death is also a reality that cannot be delayed or tampered with. As I was preparing this topic, I decided that I was going to visit a graveyard. So I sat in my vehicle, I went to the closest graveyard. I went to the sales office and I said to them, I'd like to see a list of the most current burials. First they were hesitant, then I explained to them that I'm doing this for the purpose of preparing a lecture. So they gave me a week, a list of 1 week of burials. I took the list, I looked at the list, and once again it was reaffirmed to me that the angel Azrael does not discriminate, does not pick and choose, but he executes the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. The 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 60-year-old, the 90-year-old, as soon as they're calling has occurred, the angel Azrael pays them a visit, and he only visits us once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states within the Holy Quran that we must visit the graveyards and we must see and witness the graveyards on daily basis. Islamic traditions indicate that the graveyard must be placed right in the downtown and in the center of a city. And if you visit the holy city of Najaf, you find that the graveyard is right in the center of the city. And there is a reason behind that. It's not that they just suddenly decided we're going to put the graveyard right in the middle of the city. It is because when we wake up every morning, we're full of energy, we want to start our day, and we go through the downtown of the city and we see the bodies of the deceased enter the graveyard, being prepared to be washed, being prepared to be prayed upon, being prepared for the burial. We remind ourselves that soon this is going to come to our doors. This fate is going to knock at our doors.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.